Okay, we'll call it January, or excuse me, February 1st meeting to order. Mr. Baker, agenda?
Yes, I do have one recommended change, and that is to delete the executive session.
Okay. At all, at all?
And possible action.
Am I counsel or anything?
That'll also delete the possible action on the executive session.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I move we approve the amended agenda.
Second.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. We, in your package, you had the minutes from January 18th, January 25th. Am I having any corrections, additions, or comments about the minutes? Hearing none, understand, approved as read. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, we have two letters. One's from the Delaware State Police Troop 4. I would like to thank you for your donation, Delaware State Police Troop 4 Explorer Program. Our program was able to fundraise enough money to attend the National Law Enforcement Conference this past July. Six Sussex County Explorers attended along with three adult advisors. Almost 3,000 people attended this conference, and the Troop 4 Explorers won second place in the white collar crime scenario. And this was the first award our state has ever won. We look forward to attending this competition in the future. And without your help, the Explorers would not have been able to reach your goal. And a thank you again for supporting our program. And they have attached a picture with the team, which I will pass down, Mr. Wilson. And then we have a letter to Councilman Cole from the Rehoboth Beach Museum. On behalf of the Board of Directors of Rehoboth Beach Historical Society, I would like to thank you for your recent support of the Rehoboth Beach Museum. Your contribution helps us to continue to renovate the ice house, fill the galleries with interesting exhibits, and educate the public about the rich history of Rehoboth Beach. There was a $5,000 donation. Thank you again to you and the county for your continuous generosity, which is so important to the museum. And that is all the correspondence.
You realize what the ice house used to be before it was a museum, a package store. That's kind of why it's been so embraced by that community.
And by Very good. And by Councilman Cole.
And by, yes. Yeah, a lot of
people. Anybody on council, anything correspondence?
Especially Friday night.
Moving right along. Mr. Baker.
It's the first item we have is discussion about a proposal from the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee, known as CDAC. And we received a letter from Ms. Patty Grimes, who was chairperson of the committee. Actually, Planning and Zoning Commission received the letter and requesting that the county council consider adding a 12-month time extension to approved residential plan communities, conditional uses, and subdivisions due to the current economic conditions. Currently, as far as our current time limits, for conditional uses, they are allowed 3 years from the date of approval by county council. Subdivisions are allowed, preliminary plan approvals are valid for 36 months for 3 years, and final approvals are valid for 5 years from the recordation. RPCs are valid for 5 years from county council approval. Today we have with us Mrs. Grimes, and I don't know if you'd like to make a few comments. And
good morning. Morning. Thank you for having me here today to represent the Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. We do have some members of our committee who are in the audience today as well. As you know, we represent education, all of the small businesses in Sussex County, including agriculture, finance, developers, and everyone else out there, including the small business person. So I'd like to introduce our vice chair, Rob Ryder, Mr. Joe Conaway, Ernie Felici, and then, as you all know, we have county representation with Mr. Hal Godwin, Mr. Baker, and Julie Wheatley. This proposal came to bear during a conversation that CDAC had in September of 2010 when we were talking about the economic climate in Sussex County and, quite frankly, the job situation. During our conversation, there was a discussion about what else could we do to try to prevent some relief to developers in the county, knowing that real estate used to be one of the main arms of the economic engine in the county. And quite frankly, for the county, we wanted to prevent abandonment of any kind of projects that were approved by the county, but developers did not have the financial wherewithal to move forward, given the capital crisis that the county and the actual United States is going through right now. So we learned that there are four states, some of them who are neighboring states, statewide have created permit extensions. And if I may, they are Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and North Carolina have adopted permit extension acts for developers. And it's really to eliminate unnecessary delays and costs associated with re-permitting once the market turns. And at the same time, actually will provide some predictability to states and to financing arms. When the market does turn, they know what projects will actually be in the queue, if you will, to move forward. So knowing that this wasn't anything new and could possibly be something that might benefit the developers in the county and also the county for future planning, we thought we would just go through the protocol in the county, send it to the Planning and Zoning Commission for review. And I thank you today for considering this. You know, we're fairly conservative. We asked for a one-year extension on permits. I can share with you from my research on these other four states that have adopted this. I've seen anywhere up to a five-year extension. But we thought we would start with a one-year extension with the county. So that is sort of the blanket thinking behind how we've arrived at coming forward to the county today. And at this point, I'd like to ask Mr. Joe Conaway, who is also a CDAC member, to come forward and to expand on our thoughts.
Ladies, gentlemen, Joe Conaway from Bridgeville. It's not a developer's relief situation as much as it is the entire community. To give you a prime example that just happened recently in the Bridgeville area, a contract went down for a large development. The farmer was left with the rezoning, which put his taxes at development size taxes. The town planning and zoning and the town council felt that it needed some resolution of that problem and actually downzoned the land and put an agriculture overlay over it so that it would be farmland. It still annexed the town. There's no way you can unannex unless you go through the whole process, and I don't know that that even is legal. But it's happening all around the county where farmers, small businesses, developers, obviously, bankers, are all at a loss for what they're going to do with the economy the way it is today. I don't personally believe that the economy is going to be any better at the end of this year than it is today. I think we have another 2 years before things begin to change, and I hope that I'm right there, Sam, that two's enough.
I think it will be at least that long.
I hope so. Part of the problem is there's a lot of money that has been expended with the county, and the county has put out a lot of money to these projects to get at the certain level they're at. And for them to have to start all over again without a great deal of money to have to be expended doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And as Patty said, the other states have already stepped to the plate. I'm not sure Maryland has passed theirs, but they're also proposing such an extension. It just makes sense to protect the base industries in this county, which is tourism and agriculture, from a great deal of hardship. It can affect your taxing authority. As you know, when a property is rezoned, it's then reassessed for that particular zoning. If a property is then downzoned later on, your property taxes can be affected. The whole process, when this big boom came about that you all know about as well as I do, was a five-year process. It took 5 years from the beginning of the application to the final resolution in front of council. Nobody's fault. That was the way it was. To think to go back and do it again when these projects were, in fact, approved. Let me say that zoning is not an issue here. As you know, when a piece of property is zoned, it's zoned and it runs with the land. There's no time limit on that. So you're not affecting any zoning. You're not taking a project that maybe you would have had second thoughts about and eliminating. All you're doing is eliminating the plans that you all approved and the Planning and Zoning Commission approved, that they would then be able to go forward at that. A lot of projects that I'm aware of have just been devastated by this. You cannot borrow money today. You cannot borrow money. It's as simple as that. To get a bond, for example, that's almost impossible. So you end up with a line of credit. To get a line of a credit for $1 million, it's actually going to cost you $2 million, and that's cash. So it's not good out there. These are people that live in Sussex, that work in Sussex, who pay taxes, who pay their bills, that just need a little bit of relief. 1 year is a good start. Maybe, as Patty mentioned, 5 years is where it should be. But you always should have the final say as to whether it's extended. And CDAC, when we talked about it, we thought 1 year would give you an opportunity this time. If you go through the process and it's adopted a couple of weeks from now, if that would be your pleasure, that you then should have the opportunity to look at it again this time next year to make sure the conditions have not changed and that they haven't improved to the point where this kind of relief is important. And let me make one other point. This would not affect, or our recommendation would not affect, and an ordinance that I've seen being passed around, would not affect time-sensitive approvals. In other words, if part of the approval had a date in there that you would do by a certain date, this is not affected by. So it deals with just what's in the code and would give relief to people who are trying to help Sussex County continue to grow in the proper way. And that's the best I can tell you. So.
That's right. I just thought of two other points that I failed to mention. One, and I think Joe alluded to this, what we're requesting is not any other changes to any approvals that were made or conditions as part of the approval process for these projects. They would remain as is. So it's just a one-year extension of the project, if, in fact, it's lapsing. And the other fact that I wanted to share with you this morning in checking with Mr. Baker and Mr. Lawrence Lank, I asked about how many projects are we talking about in the county. And without going through every application to look it over, Mr. Lank thinks it's about 50 projects. 50 projects that are impacted. So,
mostly subdivisions?
I'll refer that to Mr. Baker.
I think that's correct. But
yes. Lawrence,
would
you like to?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm still counting.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's what I thought.
It appears to be about 50 subdivisions could be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
It could be several conditional uses could be impacted. I haven't got that number yet. I haven't set up working on that count. And there's a couple of residential planning communities that most definitely could sunset
mm-hmm.
in the next few months. I also looked at, just for reference, where we amended last year in 2009 to amend the ordinance to allow for 3 years rather than one, so that way we got around having to do time extensions all the time. There's at least 1,609 lots out of 18 projects that could be that actually working under 3 years. As far as final approvals, they could sunset. There's a few, those 50 that I referenced. In 012, there could be five. In 013, there could be at least 12. 014, there's 17. In 015, there's two. But it could, that's a greater number. I'm not finished counting yet, as I said. That's what I counted just this morning, just working on double-checking the count.
That does sound like a lot.
It could be pretty substantial. And as David referenced and Patty referenced, just in projects that I've got to double-check, most of those were preliminaries.
What?
That would be impacted more than finals.
It just... Straight, Patty, come up here. I got to ask, or Joe, both of them get up here. I got to ask you some questions. You,
yes. That's fine. Are you done, Lawrence?
Yeah.
Okay. Now go ahead.
My understanding of how the economy works, my take is, and things on that stuff. I mean, he just rattled off so much that's out there. There's no way government is going to turn this around. So just by us doing some kind of legislative action, it's the marketplace, it's location, and it's price right now. And these projects were speculative, so many of them, in bad locations. There was just a frenzy to buy up everything. They paid too much for them. Now, do we go back? How about the guy whose project did sunset and the economy was bad for him because of different things? Do we go back? Or how about all the people he sunsetted? I mean, how fair is that to them just a couple years ago? Because this didn't just start. And 1 year, Joe, like you said, 1 year is going to be do nothing to this thing. I also am a believer that...
Well, I assume you would then go to three or four. Then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is just, you're just trying to get your foot in the door to keep this... I mean, I'm a little... I mean, you both are involved. I know what you all do. You're involved mm-hmm. heavily in real estate. So we formed this committee, and we come back, we got a real estate problem, and basically with all the other problems, we've just basically figured this will fix it. But it seems like you're looking out for your own little areas of concern more so maybe than other across-the-board issues facing this county. But I don't think 1 year, I don't think 2 years, because some of these are still going to have poor locations, prices aren't going to be right, and other things.
George, I don't think you're going to see those projects.
No, it's also,
I think the marketplace will determine what goes forward from here. But why should a government regulation be the killer of a project when the marketplace, as you amply described, should be the real determination? So a lot of these projects may be grandfathered, if you like to do this, or extend it, but they're never going to see the light of day because, as you say, and I wouldn't disagree,
well,
bad projects.
I think it's healthier for the economy, like what's going on with the foreclosure sometimes, to see, you know, a shaking out of the marketplace. We got too much here, Joe.
Yeah.
He just rattled off 1,600 lots. There is no way the market can handle 1,600 lots. There's no way the market's going to handle 50 projects in 10 years. So we've had this, with this playing field, has been equal for everybody. Speculators, people who've had, you know, good projects, bad projects, as you call it. They come in, you take your chances, and I think we've been very liberal with what we've been doing for all these years. But to say, now we're going to give these people an extension, how about the guy last year that got got sunsetted? How about the other project?
Well, George, there have been people in it, and whether you do this or don't.
Don't think the phone's going to ring with those guys?
Well, I'm saying, if you think that if you turn it down that you won't see people standing in front of you asking for all of this, you're going to have everybody who's out there come in and plead a case. That's a waste of your time.
Right. And
it's a waste of everybody's time.
And if I may, I think that the reason we brought this forward, and as I said, I think it's very conservative just to ask for 1 year. No one can predict when this is going to turn around. And I agree with you, Mr. Cole, that, you know, it's not up to the government, and the government's not going to turn this around. I think that this gives an objective process for everyone in the county, not to, because you will have case-by-case basis coming forward, and there are good projects out there that are in this time frame that may go by the wasteland and have to go through the reapplication process. And quite frankly, I think it would be great for the county to have some predictability about what is going to occur in the future.
But Patty, I know projects out there that they made no attempt to do anything. They got it approved, and they sat back because times were tough. They didn't spend a dollar. Now we're going to extend those. I can understand maybe extending a guy who's been, you know, getting the engineering work done, getting the guys out there pushing dirt, actually creating jobs, creating work.
Right.
We got, out of all those, I'd love to come up with some standards of what meets this threshold that we should extend. But to go across the board and extend everybody who's come in here and walked in and got a project, walked out and flipped it to some big developer, And we're going to supposed to be sympathetic. And then the farmer who sold the land's getting, a lot of it's getting back. His taxes, Joe, the taxes in Sussex County are so low.
Yeah, but he has. You're asking a farmer to come in here, pay $500, and know what the fee is.
He made millions on his land.
Oh, not necessarily.
Nothing.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Hundreds of thousands.
He may not even have done that. There are contracts. You're in real estate. You understand how you write a contract.
And when you talk one at a time, Mr. Cole, please.
No,
let them speak if they're going to answer your question.
When you write a contract in this kind of day and time, you don't write a contract that settles on the land. So that, to say a farmer got millions of dollars on a piece of property that's never been developed and still being a soybean field is a little disingenuous, and that doesn't happen.
And if I could add, the nice thing about this is that we're starting the conversation about what's required in the county. And, you know, Mr. Cole, what you said is if the county council chooses to consider this and wants to include other standards that says work, planning work, yeah, some kind of work has to continue for these projects, that's certainly suitable. From our standpoint, we really just came forward with, let's try to do something. And I just want to go on the record. Yes, my past has been real estate development. I'm 100% employed by both the Carl Freeman Foundation and the Joshua Freeman Foundation.
I sell real estate.
I do have a real estate background, but as representative from our folks here, you know, we have folks from the fabrication and industry, agriculture, education. So we do represent the full purview. It's just that we haven't had to come to you for other businesses in the county.
My challenge into you, Kathy, or Patty, I'm sorry.
Thank you for getting my name
right. You know, it's called the Sussex County or Sussex Economic Development Action Committee. What else have you? What? Got any other ideas like manufacturing?
Yeah, let me jump into that.
We actually just came back.
We need to extend the real estate.
We actually just took a tour of the Wallops Island base down there and looked for opportunities for fabrication and other businesses actually that are located right in Selbyville, Delaware, that are working on the NASA project. So that's one thing that we're doing.
I was there with a number of CEDAC members. What a facility Wallops Island is. What a facility. It's growing. Miller Fabrication from Bridgeville actually was there. Selbyville's there. Our thought, and with the amount of money they're spending on that spaceport now, that there was an opportunity for our people to work there. Right now, 10 people from Delaware work at Wallops Island. It's not a bad ride down 13. Why shouldn't our people have the same opportunity? After all, it is our money that's making that port what it is today. So it's not just real estate that we've been involved in. It's been opportunities for people to find not only employment, but also find business. And that was just, as I say, recently as Wednesday. So.
Right. And one more thing.
And there's no gain for me to be there except I think there's a gain if we can put people to work in Sussex County, and that's what I did it for.
We also are working on the education front with Deltech and University of Delaware, the airport expansion. But I must say we digress from the point at hand. So,
no, just
want to. But I want to, and thank you for the opportunity to share that we are doing other things,
and
we're happy to report on a quarterly basis of those activities to the county.
But I got lobbied on the same issue somewhere else.
Understood.
I would like to, Mr. Ryder, you have any comments you'd like to make? Because I don't think you sell real estate every day, so I mean, you're in something besides real estate.
Yes.
You're involved in CEDAC, and we value your opinion.
I haven't, thank you. I haven't prepared any comments.
I understand.
But, I would just like to reiterate what these guys have said here, and that is we do have a number of other initiatives in CEDAC other than real estate, but this was one idea that we came up that was tangible, and of course I don't have any projects on the books or any benefit from this.
Correct.
But there are some good projects out there that could sunset. There are some bad projects out there that should sunset. There are projects out there that the market's never going to let happen. The market shouldn't have let them happen to start with. And the market will, in fact, take care of that. But this was just a suggestion. There's a lot more there's a lot of intricacies involved, obviously, that you guys have to deal with, but we just wanted to bring it before you.
So, thank you very much for your comments, Rob.
Mr. President, could I ask a question?
Either
of Ms. Grimes or Mr. Conaway, you mentioned that you've checked additional states that have done this. I would suspect that most zoning is handled on a county level or municipal. Have you researched how many counties in our area have done this type of thing?
I've not. Mr. Moore did counties. I went to the state, and obviously these regulations and acts are broad-based because some states have a lot more authority on their approvals from environmental acts and things like that. We would certainly be happy to go back and research and provide that information to the county if necessary. I do know that in Ocean City, Maryland, which is a municipality that's our neighbor, they are considering projects on a case-by-case basis, but it is tending to sort of be a cog in the wheel and taking up a lot of time for the volunteers in P&Z and then the fathers of the city. So I'm sorry, I don't have a direct answer for you.
I don't want to talk law with an attorney because I'm not going to get it right, but it's my understanding that Governor Rendell did it by executive order, which raises a lot of constitutional questions, Everett, as you would know, but that they did it, and whether there's been any challenges to that executive order or not, and of course he's no longer in office, but I for one disagree. You know, your position is well taken. I don't know how the governors of these states can do it, but I don't know the laws in those states as well. So, but in any event, what it said and what precipitates our appearance is that these governments are attempting to do something to resolve the problem that's going on. And sometimes, even if it's wrong, you need to do something. So I can't tell you how you would tell, how Governor Markell, by executive order, could tell this body to extend a moratorium or extend permits. I don't know that legally you could do that. But in other states, there are other criteria. And I do know that in Pennsylvania, that's how it was done. So.
Yeah. My thoughts were that maybe instead of just a few states, there's been a lot of counties that have done something similar, and maybe we could look at those as well.
Would this be a permanent change? Mm-hmm. Or when the economy's good, would we go back to 5 years or what?
That's up to the discretion of the council. Uh-huh. You could set the time frame for that.
That's why we proposed 1 year, Mrs. Deaver, is that this time next year or whenever, mm-hmm. You would look at it and say, well, you know, things are changing. The marketplace has improved. They don't need this relief, and this ordinance would die a natural death, that's all. Mm-hmm. No, we're not in here saying let's make it a permanent mm-hmm. method of doing good business okay. by Sussex. This is mm-hmm. simply, I think we all agree that the economy is just, you know, I wasn't around, and although people think I was, in 1929, but yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. It's difficult when the young man that just talked was a student when I was a principal. I mean, you know, I'm getting in your age, Sam. Well, we are the same age. But, you know, things need to, I digress, as they say. That comes with age. But things should be evaluated at the appropriate time. And whether 1 year is sufficient, as you say, George, or two. And you may want to look at criteria. Maybe they are. I know that the speculators were in the market, that they got a lot of things done. They tried to spin it. A lot of those have gone to foreclosure. They're no longer in existence. Maybe there's some kind of language that's appropriate that takes that concern off the table and puts it back to the people who've done it. People who are at this level, and it's an easy way to determine, have already begun to do a lot of the technical reasons or technical things you have to do to go through preliminary approval and final approval. So there's a lot of things that are already on the place. They've just not been able to get the next step, which primarily is financing, to go forward with projects are there. It's the worst time I've ever seen.
Mr. President, if somebody would come up with some criteria, just to sit here, like you just said, there's guys out there that have done nothing.
Right.
There's some that have done quite a bit. I'm sympathetic to the guy who's done quite a bit, but just to go for 50 subdivisions or 1,600, you know, lots, it's, again, that's saturating the market. We haven't done anything for the real estate market, and I do understand a little bit about real estate. And my understanding is when you have too much, you know, it's not good. We've got too much. Mm-hmm. And we went through a heyday, and it's now it's come home to roost. Who's going to come in and say the economy's good? Do we wait till you guys reappear and say, or Joe tells us, you tell us when it's bad, you tell us when it's good, you know, the what do you...
We've got the Oracle of Sussex County.
But anyway, so if somebody could come up, if somebody could come up with some criteria,
I agree,
and we'd have something to talk about. But I mean, for me to sit here and try to support something that just sounds like it's I don't know. I just don't see it happen. I don't have that confidence in government to give us 1 year extension, then another year, then another year. And then what about the guy who got sunsetted just recently? And I don't mind doing case by case basis. Our workload, Joe, is way down here. We have like
I know it is. We don't have anything
this afternoon. We didn't have anything last week, and I can't imagine. Has it been 3 weeks since we've had an afternoon session?
Yeah.
We're not overworked, Joe. So don't go making it sound like you poor guys. We're trying to do this for you. Mm-hmm. Don't do it for me. I don't mind on a case by case basis. I wouldn't mind hearing a guy tell me, "Here's what I've done.
Yeah.
Could you give me an extension?" And I'm, you know what? Reasonable people will act reasonably. But just to go across the board is just irresponsible. It's government being irresponsible with addressing issues.
Just pulling the number that Lawrence said, 50. That means you could have 50 hearings with people explaining that. I think what we're asking for is if the concept makes any sense, we certainly can do those kinds of things. But for us to go further without some kind of direction from the county council doesn't make a lot of sense on our point.
Mr. Phillips?
I would agree with Mr. Cole. I don't have confidence in government either.
That's why we're all up here.
Yeah.
government created a provision which, in my opinion, has interfered with the marketplace. Mr. Cole said, who's going to decide? The answer is the marketplace. Many of the projects that were approved will sunset by the marketplace. There is not the economy of 5 years ago, so many of these projects simply will go away. I think it's disappointing that a volunteer citizen committee who's been charged with finding economic opportunity for this county is berated. I think it's disappointing that industries that provide jobs and helps the economy are belittled and discredited. I think the least that we should do is allow this to come in the form of an ordinance, hold a public hearing, and then debate it.
Mr. Wilson, do you have any comments?
Well, I'm sort of thinking on the line of Vance here, and I think the government many times has been in the way from keeping people. We could have been further down the road, maybe. But anyway, what I want to know is, Joe, is what are you doing there in the town of Bridgeville? You annexed a large piece of property in. What have you done with that?
They're all in town, okay? You realize, of course, I'm no longer in the government. I serve on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that may or may not last. But there is nothing going on. I know of the Wheatley farm that I mentioned earlier that has been taken back by the farmer. He didn't make millions on it. We had the foresight when I was president of the commission to pass an ag overlay zone, so we were able to put it back in agriculture. The farmer didn't want to take it out of town, or he didn't ask for that. He'd have to go back through the process. There's some interest along the commercial strip that was created under our comprehensive plan, but even there, a number of contracts have gone because the economy just doesn't. You just can't get the money from the banks to do what you have to do. The banks, and I don't want to be, you know, opinionated, but the banks caused the problems with their very liberal in many cases inappropriate lending policies, and now they're compounding it by refusing to lend money even to good customers. That's what's called Bridgeville. That's what's called every town. Bridgeville, for the 8 years that I was there, we were fortunate enough to put into place a lot of things that allowed them to weather the storm. And including sewer plant capacity that will enable them to address the needs when they come back. But when it comes back, I don't know. I worry about that.
I'll be a little bit more specific here. Now, take a piece of land that's going into the town, annexed in. Now, nothing's been done as far as development, none. And the guy's still farming it. Are you charging him land tax? Are you charging town tax on this piece of land?
They're charged a town tax, but I believe, well, on my memory, and that can be bad, but it's based on the county assessment. So if it's still assessed as ag land, it's that way. There is no ag exemption in the town code, but there are ways to do that. That's why Wheatley, in fact, came in, so that his land could go into agriculture again. But every piece of land that was annexed, that was farmed, is still being farmed. The large development Heritage Shores is not, but the development to the west of town that is on the Danny Baldwin's land, the potato farmer, that is still being farmed, and that may not make it. I don't want to be standing here being quoted saying this is going to make it or not going to make it, but there are some real serious problems.
But talk about giving breaks. Wouldn't that be a break sort of towards that farmer, that developer, not to be taxing development tax?
I wouldn't disagree with that, but I'm not in a position to make those changes, Sam.
I think that would, you talk about helping people, I think that would, putting taxes on people that's, when they're still farming, that's sort of this encouragement.
Well, was our position then. It goes to what George said. If you want to speculate, I don't think these folks were speculators, but if you want to speculate, there ought to be a cost, and that the taxpayer should not have to pay that cost. Everybody who came to Bridgeville paid their bills and paid to the town of Bridgeville. That was our philosophy, and it didn't vary very much from your philosophy as the way developers
are
handled.
You said it
here.
Cost the town of Bridgeville, but it really doesn't cost town of Bridgeville hardly a dime except for run that referendum or annex them in. So, because that piece of
we don't
property,
have an annex. We have
that piece of property, Joe, has never done anything to cost town of Bridgeville anything.
It costs someone to annex into town $1,500. We don't have annexation fees as some towns do, based on lots and acreage. It's a straight $1,500, and that covered the cost of the attorneys, the postings, and the meetings that went with it. The town didn't make any money over annexing property. Where they made their money
well,
is when they start paying
you
taxes.
Money. So. You got a cost. I know you got to have help here and run a
sure.
election or whatever. I understand that. But I, other than that, I don't understand where the taxes are justified on this piece of farm property. If you're telling us to give us a break, so I'm thinking maybe we could start with some of our local towns.
Well, you know what?
Give us an example that you're going to be saying.
Tomorrow night, Sam is SCAD. Why don't you get up and ask the other towns to do a farmland assessment in
I'm
town.
I'm saying if you believe in this, really show
the We have the ability, Sam. We're the only town that has the ability to do just what you're asking.
Okay.
And we did it with Wheatley on the ag overlay. That's the only one in Delaware that I'm aware of. So.
If I may.
Yes, ma'am.
Going back to, we came here today as representatives of everyone in Sussex County. We know what the economy is. I, speaking for CDAC, know that the market will bear what it can, that I agree with Mr. Cole, there's more units than what we need right now, but that the market will adjust and take care of itself over time.
Absolutely.
We understand that. We're all business people, and we get it.
Yep.
But we're here to take some relief off of those projects that will continue to do good work in the county when the market is ready for those projects to come back. We're here because we believe that there is good development out there and that it impacts other business segments within the county, which means all of our taxpayers here. And for us to not come forward and not to ask the county to do something to provide relief, we're asking for 1 year. We all have agreed that 1 year may not be enough, but there's got to be a starting place to provide relief for people in this county, and that's what we're asking for you today.
I don't think it's unreasonable.
Thank you. Mr. Cole, the last thing.
The last word. Mr. Phillips implied that I was belittling you. I was trying to ask some good, tough questions. I know Joe is very sensitive. I know you can handle that.
But they've said
but
that.
There's no intent on my part to belittle anything you're doing. No.
Understood.
But I question these kind of programs and the effectiveness of it, and again, inventory and stuff like that, which I think that I have a little bit of knowledge of, and I was just trying to do that. No way was I. I apologize if I did belittle you.
George, you get what you get, right? When Patty said, "Would you go with me?" I said, "Well, here we go," because I know what's going to happen as soon as I stand up here. So I come with that kind of expectation. I can tell you, you didn't disappoint me. But you didn't belittle.
I would have asked Patty the same question.
So, I think
I've said enough.
Yeah. I think we've had a good discussion.
Yes.
We thank you for coming forward. I would ask that Mr. Lank and Mr. Godwin will work with you to develop some type of ordinance to bring back for us to look at in draft form at whatever time it suits you. You guys can make that work, and we'll move from there.
Thank you very much. Planning and zoning.
Mr. Lank, come forward, please.
You mean the commissioner?
The commission.
Oh, the commission. Well,
they'll have, if we bring back ordinance, they have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. They'll have to hear it, right? Will it go to both?
Oh, sure.
It goes to both of them.
Yes, it goes to both.
Okay.
You'll send it back to them.
That's correct. That's
the good thing about this, they brought it to our attention.
That's correct. And we thank you for your effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the time.
You have a great day. We will now, Mr. Baker, if you could hold up a second. We have a 10:30 public hearing advertised, and we're past 10:30. So we'll now have the public hearing for the CDBG program. Then we'll go back to our other stuff. In case there's someone here for that.
Good morning, Mr. President and Council. We're here today for the citizens of Sussex County to participate in the development of a community development block grant application. I am the director, Billy Cates, of the county program with assistant director, Brad Whaley. Before I get into the policies and guidelines, as always, I want to give a brief history, as we always do, for the public hearing. In September, October, Mr. Baker, county administrator, sends out a letter to all the municipalities, towns, asking if they would like the county to administer their community development block grant application. And the following applications that you see in front of you today were towns that responded, went through the advisory committee that we have, and we had 14 public hearings in each of the towns, and this brings us here today to wrap up the final public hearing on the whole county application and their applications. As I said, the purpose of the public hearing is for the citizens. This past Friday, you should have received the package with all the materials that we're going over, and also the different ordinances and resolutions that we're going to be asking to pass. The Community Development Block Grant application is actually funded from HUD to the Delaware State Housing Authority that gets the entitlement. Roughly $2 million is a pass-through to the Housing Authority. Each town, county, and Kent and Sussex County has an opportunity to participate and apply for that $2 million. It is on a competitive base, and an outside review panel reviews each application on its own merit to make sure it's worthy to be funded that particular year. The grant year runs from June until July. So this fiscal year would be July 1 of 11 to June of 12. The main elements are housing rehabilitation, demolition, code enforcement, and infrastructure. Now, infrastructure, you have to have a match of 10% for less than $100,000, excuse me, 15% for $200,000, and 20% for more than $200,000. More the match, the more points the application will score. And historically, the last 5 years, they have not been infrastructure project funded in Sussex County or Kent County. It is considered low priority at this point. What emphasis on housing rehabilitation? There is a 50% administration match for the direct personnel working with the CDBG program. All the projects funded, it must benefit the low to moderate income individuals. And the income guidelines for that are for a family of one is $32,700, two is $4,600 roughly more, and two would be $37,400, three, $42,050, and on up roughly about $4,600 more per person in the family. All income is included. Now, if you were to do an infrastructure project, more than 51% of that targeted area, that street, would have to be qualified for that particular, to be eligible for that particular grant. The other guidelines for homeowner is homeowner occupied, primary residence, taxes, and insurance must be current. There is a lien put on, a 5-year lien for 62 and older, 10-year lien for 62 and younger. If it's a demolition, it will be a permanent lien on the property. That is the basic guidelines. They haven't changed much over the current year. The only real policy change, Mr. Whaley will go on over with a update on what the county has done with the CDBG funding, but the main policy change is through our office and sharing with Kent County, we requested that see if they could put in emergency funding for some small emergency projects. We ran into it all the time, and thanks to County Council in the past few years, they have in the budget gave us a few some funding to do the emergency projects. We're kind of asking the Housing Authority to let us have an activity now where we can just put it in our application process. That way, if somebody has a roof leaking and they contact you or us, and we can put them on the 800 waiting list, we can work them to the top if they qualify. At this point, Mr. Whaley will go over the applications that we're submitting in past history and what we've done.
Okay. Well, over the past 11 years, Sussex County has received $11,800,000 in community development block grant funding. We've used a large majority of that for housing rehab for low to moderate income residents. We've helped about 1,600 households over the past 11 years. The current year, last year, or 2010, we received $1,134,000 in CDBG and home funding. To date, we have about 70% of that allocated, about 50% of the work is completed, the other 20% is under contract, and the last 30, we're still working to help those homeowners. So, as Bill said, we do have probably over 800 people on our waiting list. And there's also another benefit to this. We calculate that we use nothing but local contractors. We do help, you know, there's a lot of people that are kind of, their income is definitely supported by this. So it kind of does two good things. It does some economic development and it does some housing stability. So what we're planning on applying for this year, and I'll just go right over town by town. We've had public hearings with all these towns and discussed it. The town of Blades, we're requesting $80,000 to do rehabilitation. Bridgeville, $140,000 to do housing rehabilitation. Delmar, which is new for us, we're gonna request $140,000 to do 8 rehabs. Ellendale, $80,000. Georgetown's requesting a sidewalk project. This is kind of the sidewalk that runs right down to the school. A lot of children are kind of, it's kind of a rough area for as far as a lot of mud, and they have to actually walk on the street to get to the middle school. So that project totals $199,700. The town's going to match that with $29,955. So the CDBG application is $169,744. And then I'll just go back to rehabs. Greenwood, we're requesting $80,000. Laurel, $180,000. Milford, $180,000. Milton, $80,000 for five rehabs. Seaford, $180,000 for 10 rehabs. And Selbyville, $80,000 for five rehabs. And the reason that these are different is because of the size of the waiting list we have. Some towns have much bigger, so we'll put in a bigger allotment. It'll all be reviewed by the Housing Authority, and they'll kind of make the final decisions. On the countywide application, we're applying for the maximum that we can apply for is $1,100,000. And how we're proposing to use that is to do 20 scattered rehabs at $390,000, 30 scattered hookups that we use in the new communities that receive sewer and water. As Bill mentioned, we're requested $100,000 for emergency rehab. And just to give you an example, like the snowstorms we had last year, caused a lot of trouble with some of the older mobile homes. Literally, the roofs collapsed, and we're trying to have a way to help them a little quicker. Rural Lincoln, Greentop area, we're requesting $100,000. Rural Dagsboro and Millsboro, which really is like from State Street all the way out to Cedar Creek, we're requesting $100,000 for rehabs. Rural Ellendale, $100,000. And then the Cool Spring community, we're requesting $90,000 for housing rehabs. So the totals which you have, the total request just for rehab is $2,329,745. Every year, like Bill said, there's $2 million available. There's probably $6 million to $8 million in requests, and they'll review, and their review committee will make the determination on what funds will be awarded. And really, we're just here to ask your permission to apply, like we do every year, and I think Bill can go back over that part. Mm-hmm.
As Brad said, and once again, this is just the targeted areas approval. This is the first step of the application. It's not the application. But it just for exactly, for like Blades, they had 54 units. 20 of them were considered substandard or need assistance. So we only applied for like five rehabs in it. And that's kind of the Bridgeville had 241.33 substandard, so we went with eight rehabs. And that's kind of the review panel and how we have to have. But that part gets approved first. It is a public hearing, and before I get to the resolutions, we'd like comments, questions from the audience, or
yes, council. If council had any questions to ask, and if not, is there anyone from the public that would like to address this issue?
Mr. Cole has a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Cole?
How many infrastructure requests did you get from the towns?
We got one this year.
One, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My question would be, how much of all this is actually county funds?
The county would be this year about $251,000 for administration only. The program itself costs the county nothing. That's just the administration for a total of six people.
So it costs us nothing?
Absolutely not.
We've not actually contributed anything to...
No. The only thing in some of the budget in the past, one year the council gave $100,000. And last year was $30,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that is my only thoughts here, folks, is that we got 800 application backlog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's actually growing.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
Every public
years ago, I was here, and it was like 600 to 700. Now we're at 800.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems interesting that if we've got this happening in our county, that Sussex County is really not contributing, and in the past we have, and I just would just put it out on the table here that we might want to look to contributing some funding to this effort, because these are Sussex Countyans, a lot of people are in need, and this is getting bigger and bigger, and $2 million is a lot of money coming from the, I guess, the Fed and the state, or mostly Fed, right?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think that we ought to be thinking about that, because we're not helping.
We could
not doing anything.
Well, we said he's getting $250,000.
It costs us nothing.
Huh?
We spend nothing in this program.
$250,000.
For the administration part.
But we get that back.
Yeah. That's the salaries to run that department. Yeah. That's nothing to do with, there's no money goes in this.
But we do put that much into it.
No. We get it back.
Are we going to give it back to us, the $250,000? They're going to give back to the county?
No.
You don't know.
That is our administration. Yeah. That does cost the county for that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But the program itself, as far as the funding for homes and all that, that's no cost to the county.
No.
But keep in mind, some of the personnel, that 250 the county, is not all CDBG. There's only about 160, 200,000 of block grant individuals that work on this. Like Brandy Bennett is under NSP, is another funding guideline that covers some of that. When I say 250, that's probably what Mr. Baker and they'll see at staff time for our budget, what it's going to cost the county overall for to run our department.
That's not a free money.
Do you get 10% administrative fee?
We get $160,000, and then $5,000 for HPG. So it's roughly, you know, about 50% or a little better.
Yeah, there is a match required, and yeah. I think what Mr. LaCase was trying to say, that as far as the rehab work, none of that is charged due to the county, but they do match have to match over 51% of the administration costs.
We match the admin and the budget.
The admin.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So there is some cost to the taxpayers.
There is Mr. President, in the general fund, we have $221,000 in this year's budget for general fund to pay towards administrative costs, and it runs about, in the past, it's run $256,000, $257,000, plus we have $30,000 for the emergency money when someone has a problem. They're maybe not even on the waiting list, and we use general fund money for that to help as we can, but we can certainly look at Mr. Cole's
request.
We're
going backwards. It'll be $1,000 in a year, and I think that maybe we ought to be looking at doing something with this program.
Next budget.
Are there any other questions or comments from council? If not, is there anyone here in the public that would like to speak in regards to this matter? If so, come to the podium. Anyone from the public that would like to speak on this matter? Seeing no one wishing to speak on this matter, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter, and the council can take action.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing, and you have a resolution? Or
Yes, sir, we do. We have two resolutions. The first one is endorsing projects to be submitted to the Delaware State Housing Authority for funding from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and authorizing David B. Baker, County Administrator, to submit applications.
Okay.
Applications: scattered site rehab, $390,000. Scattered site emergency rehab, $100,000. Scattered site hookups, Pine Town, $60,000. Dykesboro, Oceanview, Millville, Rural Development, Rural Ellendale, $100,000. Rural Dykesboro, Millsboro, $100,000. Cold Springs, $90,000. Lincoln Greentop, $100,000. Administration, $160,000, for a total of $1,100,000 for the county's application. Application number two, Blades, $80,000. Bridgeville, $140,000. Delmar, $140,000. Allendale, $80,000. Georgetown, $169,000. $745,000. Greenwood, $80,000. Laurel, $180,000. Milford, $180,000, and Mountain, $80,000, Seaford, $180,000, Selbyville,
$80,000. Okay. Motion and a second.
So move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution as submitted. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next thing.
Second resolution is whereas the Sussex County Council recognizes the importance of fair housing for the citizens of Sussex County, whereas Sussex County Council supports the goals of fair housing law, now therefore be it resolved that Sussex County Council hereby encourages all parties involved in the renting, selling, or financing of housing in Sussex County to ensure that no person shall, on the grounds of race, color, national origin, religion, creed, sex, marital status, familiar status, age, sexual orientation, or disability be discriminated against or denied a fair and equal opportunity for housing in, and be it further resolved that the Sussex County Council, when acting as the administrator of the Community Development Block Grant, is hereby authorized to take such actions as deemed necessary to affirm further fair housing in connection with applying for the Community Development Block Grant funding.
I'll make that motion.
Motion.
Second.
And a second. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.